for the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Four Persons Network. Join us at this hour of mercy for the Chaplet of Divine Mercy for the intentions of the holy souls in purgatory and to rid the world of the scourge of abortion. The intro is by Donna Corey Gibson, copied from the YouTube channel Super School.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us.
From the heart of Jesus,
as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you. Oh, blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus,
as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you. Oh, blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus,
fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you,
Jesus,
I trust in you,
Jesus,
I trust in you,
Jesus,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Amen.
Amen.
And that comes from St. Faustina's diary at page 950, and I know I tell you guys that every day, but I tell you that because I want you to look it up and read it. St. Faustina's diary is a very important book. Yes. St. Faustina.
Pray for us.
Pope St. John Paul II.
Pray for us.
Jesus, we trust in you.
Amen.
Amen and amen. So like I was saying, St. Faustina's book is a very important book, and John, you had something to say?
No, I was agreeing with you. I was saying
okay.
It certainly is.
Well, I wanted your comments on the air because I wanted everybody to hear that you had something important to say there.
Well, I told you a couple of years ago when I went on this crazy reading binge, and the story bears repeating if you'll indulge me for a minute to repeat
sure.
it. Sure. When I was 12 years old, I was nearly killed in a sledding accident. In fact, the doctors had told my, while I was in surgery overnight, the doctors had told my parents to prepare for the worst outcome, that they did not expect me to survive the night. But I did. But one of the long occurring results of that sledding accident was I developed something called a nystagmus in my eyes. I don't know if you've ever heard that term before.
No, I haven't.
It's something that affects the eyes when something moves out of the peripheral vision. Okay, when something moves out of your moves in out of your field of sight into your peripheral vision, normal person is able to pick that object up out of the corner of their eye with little difficulty.
Right.
What happens in my case because of the damage that was done is when something would move out of the field of vision, the eyes would start moving back and forth, searching. There was something in the circuitry that would become confused. Long story short, it made it very difficult because when you read, your eyes are scanning back and forth on, across the page. Well, after a while of reading, I would start to develop headaches. You know, start to become dizzy and develop these headaches. So it was very difficult for me to read, especially long books. And a couple of years ago, for some strange reason, I decided to pick up some books that I had started to read and finish them. And it's ironic that the first two books that I went through both come into play with what we're going to discuss today. The second was The Diary of St. Faustina. I was able to make it through the entire book from start to finish, which was just absolutely unheard of for me to be able to do that. I actually consider it borderline miraculous. And the first one was Dark Night of the Soul by our saint of the day today.
It's not
sure.
Our saint of the day today.
So St. John of the Cross and St. John Joseph of the Cross are two different St. Johns of the Cross. Okay.
Two completely different saints, but they're often confused.
Okay. Well, there I went and just confused them. So anyway, that's my story, and I think it's kind of neat that I'm able to read books now. So. Anyway,
I think it's awesome. And by the way, Saint Dark Night of the Soul by St. John of the Cross is a great book, and I recommend everybody should read that.
Yeah. So if anybody, I've heard this question asked, people say, well, I want to start reading Catholic books. Where should I start? Well, 10 books is one of the best there is at Catholic books. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
I am. I get their text messages every day.
Oh, there you go. So they offer a neat little set that if you can do it, and you can get it either in the 8-book set or the 12-book set. You can get either set. And I recommend you get the 12-book set. It's called the 12 Classics. It's called the 10 Classics. And what a great starter for reading those classic Catholic books. And you're of course going to get Dark Night of the Soul, but you're going to get Story to the Soul by Saint Teresa of Lisieux. You're going to get St. Teresa of Avila in there. You're going to get St. Louis de Montfort in there. You're going to get, I mean, it's just a great, great starter set. Spiritual Combat, Manual of Spiritual Combat is in there. Just some of the greatest classics ever written. Dialogue by St. Catherine of Siena is in there. Just great, great books. I recommend that's a good starting point and point of reference. I think I've read 7 of the 12, I believe. I think.
Okay.
Imitation of Christ by St. Thomas Kempis is in there. Yeah, it's just a great starting point. So anyway, I digress.
Well, and I've read a bunch of those books, The Imitation of Christ, which is an amazing book. And I just finished Dark Night of the Soul, and I highly recommend that book to everybody.
That's a deep book, isn't it?
is incredibly deep, and it tells you step by step what your soul is going to experience in the minutes and days after you die, and how much your soul is really going to long for God.
Yeah.
Amazing special book. I finished it and my soul was longing for God.
It goes into great detail of what the process of dying to self and rising again to Christ is like. And it's a painful process. It's not simple. But it's a very, very detailed book. And if you know the history of that book, he wrote that book in utter torment, like St. Paul.
Yes.
All right, so tell us about our saint of the day. I'm interested in hearing this.
Well, our saint of the day is St. John Joseph of the Cross. And many people confuse him with St. John of the Cross. But it's not the same saint. St. John of the Cross's feast day is actually December 14th.
Okay.
St. John Joseph lived in the 17th and 18th centuries. He was born around the middle of the 17th century. According to Wikipedia, he was born Carlo Gaetano Colacinto. And he was born on the Feast of the Assumption, August 15th, in the year 1654. He was a Franciscan monk and priest, and he's really got an amazing story. He was, like we said, born sometime around the middle of the 17th century. I don't put a whole lot of faith into Wikipedia when it comes to birth dates of saints. But he was born on the island of Ischia, which is said to be a very beautiful island in the Mediterranean Sea near Naples. From his earliest days, he was the model of a virtuous child. And at the age of 16, he joined the Franciscan Order of the Strictest Observance, also called the Reform of St. Peter of Alcantara. And St. Peter of Alcantara's feast day is October 18th. So young John Joseph of the Cross was very influential even as a young monk. And he also had a great reputation for holiness. After only 3 years as a monk, and even before he was ordained to the priesthood, he was sent out to form a new friary of monks at Piedmont, which is also in Italy, and he was ordained to the priesthood against his will and only out of obedience to his superiors at Piedmont. He assisted in the actual construction of the monastery, and this is important because he was the founder of the monastery, and he was the leader, and yet here he is getting his hands dirty and doing the hard work. And during his time, even when he was provincial of the province of Naples, There was no job that was too low for him to do. I mean, he would cook, he would clean, he would cut firewood, he would bring in, he would carry the firewood in, he would take water to other monks, he would care for the sick. He did everything. His station in life was chosen by him to be the servant of the servants of God. And that's just, that's amazing, because it would be so easy to get an ego about things and go, oh, well, I'm kind of the boss here, so I don't have to get my hands dirty. And so this is somebody that we could learn a lot from, because we all at some point or another get a position of leadership, whether it's, you know, on the parish council or whether it's in the Knights of Columbus or whether it's on the school board or wherever. We all get occasions to have some position of leadership. And we are all called not to let our heads get to the roles we've been called for, but to serve those who serve others. And that's a very big deal, in my humble opinion.
Yeah.
And so at the monastery, he reluctantly served in a number of roles, including novice master, guardian, superior of the monastery. Like I said, he was eventually promoted to provincial for the province of Naples. And, you know, as provincial, he also ordered that no beggar should be turned away from the convent gates unassisted. And keep in mind that back in the Middle Ages and even into the 17th and 18th centuries, even if it was a monastery that housed men or a monastery that housed women, it was still referred to as a convent. It's only in the 19th and 20th centuries and 21st centuries that a place that houses males has come to be referred to only as an abbey, and a place that houses female religious has only come to be called a convent. When he was provincial, he ordered that no beggar be turned away from the convent gates without being helped. And when resources were scarce, he would give his own portions to those in need. And in that way, he was a true Franciscan in putting the needs of all others ahead of his own needs. When his term as provincial had expired, he dedicated the remainder of his life to hearing confessions and practicing mortifications. And that was a big deal to him. And here during the Age of Enlightenment, people weren't so interested in confession. It was in the mid 18th century, the 1740s, 1750s, thereabouts, and even a little earlier, that people stopped having an interest in going to confession. Now, I go to confession usually once a week, at the worst every 2 or 3 weeks, but usually once a week. Most people, if they go once a year, they're considered lucky. And I think that the requirement is only that you go twice a year, once during Lent and once during Advent. Am I wrong?
Well, that may be so, but you know, that may be the minimum requirement. But to me, if you're only going to confession once a year, you're mailing it in. I'm just going to say it straight out. You're mailing your Catholic faith in. You're not really, you're not really committed to the faith you profess. If you can only bother to confess your sins to our Lord once a year.
Now, I go at least every 3 weeks, but usually once a week.
Yeah. Now, you know, many people can't make that commitment. So, you know, I understand that busy schedule. You know, many people can't go once a week. Most of us can go once a month. Okay. Most of us can do that. You know, the other thing is, if you are only going to confession after you've committed a mortal sin, you kind of missed the point. You're supposed to receive that grace so you don't fall into mortal sin. It's not
exactly.
You're supposed to be trying not to fall into mortal sin, not to just use confession as your safety net. You know, once you do, you know, the Bible says fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but it's only supposed to be the beginning. You're supposed to progress from there. You know, at first, the baby Christian, you know, refrains from mortal sin for fear of the consequences. But after a while, you should want to refrain from sin for fear of offending the Lord that you love and the Lord who deserves all of your love. And that's the transition that you should be trying to make. And, of course, we can't make that effort on our own. We're not capable of it, Richard. We need that grace.
Yep.
So,
and
right,
and even exactly. Going once a week, I'm usually mired in sin by the time I get home 12 minutes later.
Yeah.
I've cussed. I've taken the name of the Lord in vain. I've done something stupid. I've gotten angry, you know. So, yeah, I'm already in sin pretty much by the time I get home.
It's
unless there's nobody out, unless there is nobody else on the road. If there's nobody else on the road, I may make it home before I get into sin.
So then imagine the condition you would be in if you're not going to confession.
Exactly.
You'd be in a mess, wouldn't you?
I would be. I would be in a huge mess. So thank you, God, and thank you, Jesus, for the sacrament of penance. Oh, my God, what a great thing. So anyway, back to St. John Joseph of the Cross. He was also known to work a lot of miracles during his life, usually miracles of healing. And he always wanted those that he healed to drink some natural elixir so that the healing could be said to be from the elixir and not from him. That was the level of humility that he had.
Right.
He also had the gift of prophecy, although I couldn't find in my searches any of the specific prophecies that he made. So anyway, he died on March 5th, 1739. He was beatified by Pope Pius VI on May 24th. Catch this, 1789. A mere 50 years and 2 months after he died. 50 years.
Wow.
That's got to be
quick.
Some kind of record for somebody other than Mother Teresa or Pope St. John Paul II. And he was canonized by Pope Gregory XVI on May 26th, check this, 1839. Barely 100 years after he died, he's a saint.
Well,
unless you're Mother Teresa or Pope St. John Paul II, that doesn't happen. That's a big deal. So St. John Joseph of the Cross.
And let's just put that in context that John Paul II and Mother Teresa were canonized in a totally different era when news traveled a lot quicker than it traveled. I mean, you had the, you know, you didn't have the World Wide Web back in the 1800s. So for a saint to be canonized that quickly is really remarkable.
Exactly. Plus, you know, Mother Teresa and Pope St. John Paul II were also incredibly popular in their lifetime. And I'm sure there were one or two people throughout the world, especially in the New World, who never heard of him.
Right.
So anyway, St. John Joseph of the Cross,
pray for us.
Amen. So we don't have much time left. Oh, yeah, we do. I scheduled us a little extra time today because we've been going over the last few days. So I scheduled a little extra time just so that we would have time to talk about the Rock Company shop and to pray the Three Hail Mary Novena, because we hadn't prayed that the last few days. And that's kind of a big deal for me. I love the Three Hail Mary Novena.
Yep. Well, I have to jump off, but I will say this. I've got a million things I'm trying to get accomplished today, and one of them is I'm going to start work on some commercials, and I'm going to do a commercial for the Rock Company shop that hopefully will be at a play on every show. So,
and by the way, let's do the daily update before we do the Three Hail Mary Novena.
I don't really have anything more to offer on the daily update than we had yesterday. We kind of know what's coming up. Do we know about Terry's show for Thursday? Do we know what he's covering?
We do know actually what he's covering, and let me find his email. He wants to cover, let's see, what did he say? I want to do a show on the physical manifestation of the evil that is abortion. That is a great topic. And it takes somebody awesome like Terry to come up with that kind of a topic.
Yeah.
And then, of course, that's on Thursday evening at 6:30 Eastern, which is 5:30 here in the Central Time Zone. And then on Friday morning at 7 Eastern, I'm going to be sitting down with Ken Litchfield, and we're going to talk about Divine Mercy. We're going to talk about St. Faustina.
Is that also going to be on Blog Talk Radio, or is that going to be audio or video?
That's going to be, I think it's going to be on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
At least my preference would be for it to be on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
But that's going to be a good show. We're going to talk about St. Faustina, and we're going to talk about how she got the message that we know today as Divine Mercy. And we're going to talk about the importance of seeking God's divine mercy year-round, but especially here during Lent. And especially with the Divine Mercy Novena starting on Good Friday, which is March 29th. Easter is early this year, guys. You know, the last few years it's been in April. Well, this year it's March 31st. So. And
right. Well, God bless you. I have to check out, but God bless
when
you,
are you
and gonna, to our audience.
When are you going to start your feature on the Book of Revelations?
If I can get everything that I need to get done today done, I was planning on diving into that tomorrow. That was my plan.
Okay.
All right.
All things working out and being equal, John Benko is going to start his feature on Revelations tomorrow evening. It's going to be a great series, guys.
I'm going to start preparing tomorrow. I don't know when the first broadcast is. It's probably going to take me a day or two to put everything together for the first broadcast. So probably sometime between now and Sunday, yeah.
And we will let you know as soon as we know.
Yep. God bless you. I got to run.
God bless you, brother. All right.
All right.
Bye. So, all right, let's pray the Three Hail Mary Novena, because we hadn't prayed that in a while, and that's a big deal to me. I love the Three Hail Mary Novena. O Immaculate Mary, Virgin most powerful, we beseech you through that immense power which you have received from the Eternal Father Obtain for us purity of heart, strength to overcome all the enemies of our souls, and the special favor we implore in our present necessities. And that would be the special intentions of everybody listening here today, all the members of the Four Persons community on Facebook, and all those who will eventually listen today. Mother most pure, forsake us not, despise not our prayers. Graciously hear us for God's glory, your honor, and the welfare of our souls. To obtain this favor, we honor your power by reciting, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. O Virgin Mary, my mother, our mother, through that ineffable wisdom bestowed upon you by the incarnate Word of God, we humbly beseech you, obtain for us meekness and humility of heart, a perfect knowledge of the divine will and strength to accomplish it always. O Mary, seed of wisdom, as a tender mother, lead us in the path of Christian virtue and perfection. Enlighten and enable us to do what is most pleasing to your beloved Son and obtain our petitions. To obtain this grace, we honor your wisdom by reciting, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. O Mother of Mercy, Mother of penitent sinners, we stand before you sinful and sorrowful, beseeching you, through the immense love given to you by the Holy Spirit for us poor sinners, obtain for us true and perfect contrition for our sins, which we hate and detest with all of our hearts, because we love God. Mother most merciful, help us in our present necessities. Turn then those eyes of mercy towards us, O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary. To obtain this precious gift, we honor your loving mercy by reciting, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Amen and amen. Now we're going to talk for just a couple of minutes about the Rock Company Shop. And that is the Rock, R-O-C-K, Company, C-O-M-P-A-N-Y, Shop, shop.com. We all know how to spell .com. So anyway, they've got all sorts of great Catholic gifts, Catholic wares. They have a beautiful olive wood carved Jesus on the cross. Now, it's more than I can afford, but how beautiful is this? It's got Jesus between the two thieves. It's got Mary, and it looks like Mary Magdalene, and the other, maybe Martha, the other woman who was at the foot of the cross. And it is just so amazingly beautiful. But they have all sorts of great stuff. They've got a Last Supper carved of olive wood. And it's 31% off at $239.99. I'm hoping to order that next week. So when you hear this, Paulette, go ahead and start pulling one and having it ready for me, because I'm planning on ordering it next week. And I can't wait to put it on my wall on Holy Thursday. They also have a beautiful Jesus rising from the dead in the tomb. More than I can afford, but it's beautiful. And then they've got an olive wood Jesus becoming a servant, washing the feet of the apostles. Remember, he did that on Holy Thursday. Under their other Easter specials, they've got a beautiful 14-station cross. Let's talk about this one. It's 5x5x3x5, so it would be perfect over all of the windows in your house and all of the doors in your house. That's $21.59. They've got another 14-station wood cross that's $79.99. Again, something I would love to be able to have in my house. They've got eggs. They've got a faceless olive wood angel. Like I said earlier, they've got Jesus on the cross. They've got a Jesus resurrection set from the tomb, carved out of olive wood from the Holy Land. And I know I've talked about how they get the olive wood, but once a year, apparently in Bethlehem, they cut the branches off, the dead branches off of the olive trees, and then artisans in the area buy them, and depending on their size, start carving things from them. And I'm sure some of the smaller branches become rosary beads and rosary crosses. And my guess would be some of the portions that are left over from carving of the big objects also get turned into rosaries and rosary beads. But under home and office, they've got cooking spoons. They've got gavels. They've got a beautiful Jesus fish wall hanging. They've got a wall hanging that's got the word Jerusalem typed on it. Very amazing and beautiful. And that's only $3.19. They've got a praying hands book stand. They've got a couple of different ones of those. They've got some great stuff here, guys. And y'all really want to order some of this, and I know it. They've got beautiful candle holders. I mean, they've got some really amazing things. They've got a cross that has incense in it. So not only is it going to be beautiful on your wall, and it's 8 inches tall by 4.5 inches wide, but it's going to smell good in your room too. And that is just totally beautiful. It's got the Divine Mercy cross in the middle, you know, Jesus with the rays coming from his heart. It's got Our Lady of Grace on the left side. And I can't tell what that is. Oh, it's got Jesus, looks like crossing the Sea of Galilee on foot, calming the seas when he was walking over the seas. So, anyway, guys, that's the Rock Company Shop. I want to thank you for joining me today to pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy and the Three Hail Marys Novena and to learn about St. John Joseph of the Cross. My name is Richard Pettis. I want you to have a blessed rest of your Tuesday and a blessed Wednesday until I see you right back here at 3:30 Eastern. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all. I love you all.